thanks very much for coming this evening. You all know who I am, and we're going to be looking at underground Paris, subterranean Paris, and I'll regale you this evening, hopefully, with some stories from what's happening below the city of Paris, where you've almost got sort of like a parallel world beneath your feet. And we'll talk today about several kind of main themes. We'll, of course, talk about the famous catacombs, where you've got some 6 million dead Parisians in their resting place, which is about three times the current population of Paris. We'll, of course, talk about the catacombs. We'll also talk about the ancient quarries where the catacombs are. We'll talk about stone exploitation. We'll talk about the work of quarrying. And we'll also talk about some of the unusual and sometimes illegal activities down in this sort of like strange, sort of like a land of eternal darkness. As you can see, I'm in a very poetic mood tonight, so I hope you're prepared for that. And this gives us an idea of how busy it is below the streets of Paris. And you can see from this visual that the sewers are a very superficial feature compared to where we're going to be going, which is right the way down here, 20 meters, 60 feet beneath the streets of Paris. Most of the rest of the infrastructure is above your head. And even down in the catacombs, the sector that's open to the public, on a quiet day, when you haven't got people sort of like shouting and chatting, you can actually hear the rumble of the metro from Denfert Rochereau above your head. And that is quite a strange thing. You can see the deepest feature is the Eole, which is a train line that they built in the 70s, sort of that goes Gare du Nord, Gare de l'Est, and there wasn't room to cut it because all the space above was filled up, so they had to go really deep. And they use this incredible cutting machine called Martin the Mole, and Martin the Mole looked like something essentially out of Thunderbirds. So where we're going deep beneath the streets of Paris. And if you look here, we can get an idea of how busy it is and how large the networks are of ancient quarries and inspection passages. You've got, in fact, some 300 kilometers of these passages and quarries in this sector alone, which is left bank. There, of course, you've got the Seine. There, you've got Notre Dame Cathedral. There's the right bank. In the yellow here, this is where you get plaster of Paris from, used to get plaster of Paris from places like Montmartre, and it used to be mined at Ménilmontant. And there you can see the black dot, which shows us the entrance to the catacombs at Denfert Rochereau, which is the only part of this network which is open to the public. I think we need to sort of pay homage to the stone of Paris, because it's the reason why we've got this strange underground city beneath our feet. And the stone of Paris is a wonder. Paris above ground comes from Paris below ground. And when the Romans conquered Gaul in 52 BC, thanks to Julius Caesar and his military exploits, you had the garrison town of Lutèce, the ancestor of Paris. And the Romans, they didn't have to go very far to get good quality limestone to construct Lutèce. And they could do it basically from open quarries, from exposed cliff faces in places like where today we have the Pantheon. And sometimes when you're walking around the area of the Pantheon, you can still see the uneven street levels, which is in fact scarring from Roman stone exploitation. And if you go into the Jardin des Plantes, which if you haven't been there, I recommend that on your next visit. It's a sort of a wonderful sort of a Noah's Ark of the plant world. They've got an alpine garden in there, and it's like sunken beneath the garden level, and you can still see the shelving from where the Romans would have cut out limestone blocks. So the Romans, they exploited limestone, but the exposed stuff on the surface ran out when there were building projects in the Middle Ages, notably Notre Dame Cathedral starting in 1163, and then the famous Philip August Wall, which was constructed in the 1190s. And that's when they had to start burrowing underground. And as you saw from the map, most of the good quality limestones were over on the left bank. And remember that our architectural feats, wonders like Notre Dame Cathedral, wouldn't have been possible without this beautiful limestone, which is fit for all purposes. And geologists have analyzed the anatomy of Notre Dame. On the western facade, they found more than 20 limestones from 20 different quarries that were used for the western facade. And you've got limestone that is tough that you can use for supporting columns. You've got beautiful, finely grained, dense limestones, which were perfect to make those beautiful 13th century rose windows that you see in Notre Dame Cathedral, which essentially nobody had seen the likes of them before, with this beautiful stonework, almost like embroidery, and absolutely massive. So the limestone is good for everything. And the architect who restored Notre Dame Cathedral in the 19th century, it was in a dreadful state, his name was Viollet-le-Duc, and he praised the limestone of Paris with these words: "There's no country in Europe that produces such a variety, quality, and quantity of stone as France. All the limestones in the Paris Basin, when freshly quarried, contain a considerable amount of water, 150 to 250 liters per cubic meter. When exposed to the air, the water evaporates, moving from the center to the surface. As it migrates, it picks up mineral solution, which crystallizes to form a calcite crust around the stone, not only preserving the stone from external agents, but also lending an incomparable patina." So, absolutely wonderful stuff. And when they started exploiting the limestone for those medieval masterpieces, they chose to stone the quarry that was closest to the building site. Because remember that when you're quarrying stone, the raw material costs, but the transport with an ox and a cart will double the price of the raw material. So when you think about the quarries and the layout of the ancient quarries in Paris, the ones that are closest to the center are the oldest ones. And when they were exhausted, then generally they worked out towards the suburbs. So going from older to younger as you go away.